Okay. Getting everybody warmed up. Amen. There's only four places I go. I go to the grocery store. I eat out. I go to the doctor. And I go to church. What a life. That is living it up. You can't beat that. Amen. What a life. It's been a great honor to be back here again at the Victory Baptist Church and my wonderful friends, Dr. Borjo and his wife, Gloria. They're wonderful, precious friends. And we love them very much. If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to begin reading with verse 13 and read through verse 21. I'll read aloud. You follow silently in the Word of God as I read. Ephesians 3, verse 13. The Apostle Paul said, "Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." And Paul said, amen. In this great chapter, would you underline especially verse 20? "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." I'm not dealing so much with the prayer as I am with this great statement at the closing part of this brief prayer of the Apostle Paul. Paul prays for the church, he prays for Christians, he prays for you, and he prays for me. And this prayer is a part of the eternal, inspired Word of God. Paul prays that we might know, look at verse 16, he prays that we might know God's power, and that it's inexhaustible. Oh, we need to know more about the power of God. Look at verse 17, he prays that we may know God's presence, and we need to know God's presence. Look at verse 18. He prays that we may have wisdom. We sure do need heavenly wisdom. Look at verse 19. He prayed that we might know of God's love. We sure need to know that. In fact, in verse 19, Paul prays a strange thing. He prays that we may know the unknowable. For he says, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. He said it passed all knowledge, but he prayed for it anyway. Tremendous prayer was this. Then look at verse 20. He prays that we may know God's ability, that God's able. And in this prayer, Paul puts the emphasis on the inner man, verse 16. The world today puts the emphasis on the outer man. The world puts the emphasis on style and strength and sexy and sports. The world puts the emphasis on that which you can see and feel, the tangible. That's where the world puts it. But not the Bible, not the Spirit of God, not the prayers of the great Apostle Paul. They are upon the inner man. And God's Word teaches us that the most important part of life is the man that we cannot see with the physical eye or touch with the physical touch. And this prayer expresses two great things. First, a deep sense of need for the church and for Christians and for believers everywhere, even in the days of the Apostle Paul. And if it had such needs in the day of the Apostle Paul, I wonder how great the need is tonight where we are. And secondly, this prayer expresses a great, strong hope of supply. And I want you to feel both of these things tonight. I would to God that you'd feel an uprising, an upwelling, a sense of hope of divine supply in your heart tonight. In this prayer, you find a deep hunger on the part of God's people to know His power, His presence, His love, and His ability. They want to know the reality of God in their lives. I think there's a voice going up to God from the hearts of His people tonight, like that which went up from the heart of Elisha when he prayed in 2 Kings 2, verse 14. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is God? Where is His power? Where is His presence? Where is His ability? Thank God His ability has not diminished with the years. And God is untarnished by time. Hebrews 13, verse 8. He's eternal in nature, and He's as capable and able today as ever before. I believe that with all my heart. And I would to God tonight that we would learn this lesson, that we'd be able to leave the house of God tonight, and there'd be no doubt in any Christian's mind but what God is equal and able of all that we need in this hour. And there's a number of times in the New Testament that the Bible says God is able. Now that's my introduction. Every message has to have an introduction before you get to the first big point. And that brings me to my first big point. You ready? First of all, He's able to keep His word. Romans 4, verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able. There's that word able. He was able also to perform, and this is referring to Abraham being fully persuaded. Abraham believed that what God said he would do, that he was able to do. Now the Lord said a great thing to Abraham. He came to Abraham when he was 75 years of age and he had no children. And Abraham's wife, Sarah, was 65. And God said they would be the chosen heads of the great nation of Israel. And God said in Genesis 15, verse 5, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And He said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Abraham wondered how this could be. It meant that Abraham and Sarah, at the ages of 75 and 65, were going to have children. And the years come and go, and there's a lapse seemingly in Abraham's faith or in Sarah's faith, and she encourages Abraham to take Hagar to wife, which he does, and Ishmael is born. And this was a thorn in the flesh to Abraham's descendants ever since Ishmael's birth. They've been one against the other ever since. You know who they are, the Arabs and the Jews. Abraham is now 100 years old and Sarah is 90. And God had promised them a child and said that it was coming to pass and the performance will equal the promise. God's able to keep his word and Abraham believed God. And you know, Abraham had discounts and things in order to believe that God would keep his word, and you're going to have to, too. First of all, Abraham discounted his age, the deadness of his body and that of his wife's. He just had to discount his age. And the longer I live, the more I feel like Abraham. I'm going to just discount my age and ask God to use me anyhow. Amen. I was over in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, in a large Christian school, and I was to speak in chapel to the young people. Me and the pastor got there just before the young people came into the gymnasium there where I was going to speak to them. And we were sitting out in the middle of the gymnasium floor on two metal chairs. And while we were sitting there, the young people started filing in. And I could almost read their minds. They looked out there and saw me sitting there with the pastor, and they said, "Well, I guess old Methuselah's come speak to us today." And while I was sitting there, I said, "Lord Jesus, when I get up to preach to these young people, would you just help me to come unglued? Would you just help me to preach?" And he did. I got up and preached. Boy, I tell you the truth, the Lord just helped me. I just discounted my age and preached. And when I got through preaching, those young people stood up on the bleachers and they was clapping and carrying on. I mean, we just had a time. I just discounted my age and asked God to use me anyhow. Amen. Hold my mule while I shout. And Abraham did something else. He defied all precedents, and that it never happened that way before. Did you know tradition's killing many a church? A preacher, it never has been done that way before. Well, who cares if it never has been done that way before? As long as it's honest and good and righteous and gets the job done, who cares if it never has been done that way before? I'd like to do something every once in a while. Never had been done that way before. Amen. Hallelujah. Abraham did something else. He defied the ordinary laws of nature and opinions and philosophy of men by saying, "God said it, does not matter. Every evidence is against it. God is able." He's able to keep his word. How thankful I am for that. 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen unto the glory of God by us." 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord's not slack concerning his promise." The promise of God will be fulfilled. God's able to keep his word. "Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us." Amen. Brings me to my second big point. He's able to supply. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, "And God is able," there's that word again, "He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." It's a scripture that defies all description. The word all is mentioned three times in this verse. All grace, all sufficiency, all things. Paul said, and God's able to make all grace abound toward you. I wonder if I'm preaching someone tonight who's wondering if God's able to meet the needs of your life. Philippians 4:19, Paul said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But wait a minute. I take that in the entire chapter. What Paul was saying was, because you took care of me, God's going to take care of you. That's what he said. All he's able to supply, I believe that. I was known as the king of the special offering takers. One Sunday night, I was taking up a special offering. I mean, when you got a big church and you got 15 buses and a big annual Bible conference and a school, a large school, and you have your own youth camp, you can't make it on the regular tithe. You've got to have special offerings, and that quite often. And one night I was taking up a special offering. And while I was taking up a special offering, someone started beating on the side door. It's hard to take up special offering, concentrate on special offering when somebody's a beating on the side door. I said to the deacon, would you get up and go over there and see who that is beating on the side door? The deacon got up, went over and opened the door, and there stood a lady, and she had a sack in her hand. And she said, a while ago, God just touched my heart and told me to come down here with this sack full of money. I own the laundromat down the street, and I want to give it to you. And the deacon took the sack full of money and closed the door and locked it again. He walked in, walked up on the platform, gave me that sack full of money, and I laid it down on the pulpit while somebody was beating on the side door. God was wanting to give me an offering for that special offering. You say, do you believe in stuff like that? That's what makes me so happy. Oh, I've seen the dark clouds gather, look like there wouldn't be any way out, and just in the nick of time, God would show up and just take care of every need. Amen. He's able to supply. Yes, he is. Mrs. Fincher, Brother Fincher, Brother Fred Fincher. I held his funeral, and it was in 1996, I believe it was. I held his funeral. He's kind of a wealthy man, and every time I'd go over and see him, we was building a new educational building. And we sure did need a paved concrete parking lot. I didn't have the money. I had enough money to build an educational building, but I didn't have enough money to put in the paved concrete parking lot. And Brother Fincher would say, you know, I believe God wants me to help you put in that paved concrete parking lot. And we talked about it a little bit, and he came down with cancer, and he died. I said, Lord, what about that paved concrete parking lot? He wanted to pay for that, and he died on me. And they was trying to finish that educational building, and the builder, every so often, he said, you want me to put in that paved concrete parking lot for you? I said, well, no, wait a minute. I'm praying for it. If God provides the money, I want you to do it. And one Friday, I was there working around the church, had my overalls on, kind of working around the church, you know. And I got down on my knees in the office just by myself. Now listen, I'm a nobody, but I do believe God hears and answers prayer. And I prayed about that. And I said, Lord, if you want me to put that paved concrete parking lot in, we sure do need some help now. That builder's pushing me and wants to do it, and I don't have the money for it. If you want me to do it, I appreciate it. Just let me know today. 4:30 rolled around. I didn't hear anything. And I went home and had supper, and I said, well, honey, I guess I better just call that builder and just tell him, look, we don't have the money. We can't put that paved concrete parking lot in right now. We just don't have the money. She said, well, I think that's a good idea. I went in the bedroom and sat down. I keep telephone right by the bed. When I sat down, that telephone rang, kind of scared me. And I picked it up, and it was Mrs. Fincher. She said, Brother Clayton, are you going to be down at the church on Saturday? Oh, I said, yes, ma'am, I'll be there Saturday. She said, well, good. I want to come by about 10 o'clock in the morning and give you $70,000 to put that paved concrete parking lot in. I said, what was that? Well, I started crying, and it kind of got away with her, and she hung up. My wife came in, and I was crying. She said, who died? Oh, I said, hey, nobody died. Miss Fincher just called and said she's going to come by tomorrow and give me $70,000 for that parking lot. She started crying, too. And on Saturday morning, I wasn't sitting in my office waiting for her. I was standing out in the parking lot. And whenever she drove up, she came over there and handed me a check, $70,000. I reached over and just hugged her and thanked her. I'm going to tell you something. I'd hug anybody for $70,000. You just try me. I'll hug you right now. Amen. Hold my mule while I shout. Oh, I'm telling you, he's able. I could spend the rest of my time right here on this big point, telling you over the years how God is able. I'll tell you one more. We started the South Winds Baptist Church, and we had that house there that we redid, and we could seat about 100 people, and had a restroom, and on the other end had a little nursery, and that's what we had. And we started that in 1992, and we was on our way to church that Sunday morning. I told my wife, I said, you know what? I believe God's going to do something special for us today. She said, you do? You see, she was surprised because usually I'm negative. And there I was being positive. I said, I believe God's going to do something today. And whenever I got through preaching that Sunday morning, I told the church what was on my heart. I said, I want to build a little auditorium right behind this house. And I explained to them what was on my heart. And there was a couple there, I didn't even know his name. Second time they ever visited the church, I didn't know his name. He raised his hand and stood up, and he said, can I say something? I said, well, sir, I guess so. I didn't know much about that, you know. I didn't even know him. He said, if it's all right with my wife, he looked down at her and looked back up at me. He said, if it's all right with my wife, I'd like to give you $50,000 on that new building. And I just went down on my knees and started crying. Song leader got up and said, well, don't worry about Brother Clayton. He'll be back up here in a minute. And after I got back up, another man stood up and said, I'll give you $5,000 on that. Another man stood up and said, I'll give you $5,000 on that. Another man, I gave you $5,000. I didn't even ask for an offering. And within 2 or 3 minutes, I had $65,000 for that new building. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You say, you believe in stuff like that? Mm-hmm. I sure do. He's able. I guess I got to move on to my next big point. Number three, he's able to subdue all things. Philippians 3:21. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he's able, there it is. He's able even to subdue all things unto himself. The word subdue means to conquer or subject. God's able to subdue or conquer, bringing all things under subjection to him, and that includes you and that includes me. Do you think God can't bring you down on your knees? You better forget pride, because God's able to bring every man or woman down on their knees before him, and he can do it that fast. To subdue all things in the scripture here is referring to our bodies. Something that some people don't understand is that when you got saved, your body didn't get born again when you got saved. I've heard people say, well, I want to tell you right now, brother, when I got saved all over. No, you didn't. You're not aware of what the Bible teaches. I've heard other people say, well, I'll tell you right now, brother, when I got saved, he gave me the whole works. No, he didn't. If he did, then you just step aside when the Lord comes back. You don't need a new body. You already got one. There is in the Bible what is called progressive sanctification. You know, if a fellow was absolutely sinless or perfect, some parts of the Bible is not for him. A fellow said to me one time, I'm going to tell you right now, Brother Clayton, I'm at the place where I cannot sin anymore. I talked with him longer enough till he sinned right on the spot. He got mad and almost wanted to fight. I said, see there, you lost your temper. He said, but you tried my patience. I said, I wouldn't have, but I thought you was perfect. I never have seen a perfect person. If I see one, I'm not going to encourage him to join this church, the Victory Baptist Church, and ruin this situation completely. No one seen anybody perfect except for him about whom they said, I find no fault in him who is the Son of God. One day Jesus is going to change our vile bodies like unto his glorious body. Thank God he's able. That'd be a wonderful day. No more bulges, bunions, and bridges. Hallelujah. Now to him that's able, do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Fourth big point. I love this one. He's able to keep our souls. I'm glad that's in the scripture. When you got saved, the old devil kept telling you it won't last. You can't hold out. You can't make it. That's what the devil says. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells me I don't have to hold out because God's a holding on to me. The devil's right because we cannot make it on our own, but God can bring us through. Yes, he can. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. Here it is. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded he's able, there it is. He's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me. I like that word. He gonna preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. And Paul couldn't stand and broke out and said, amen. You know I'm pre about everything. I'm predestined, I'm prepaid, I'm prepared, I'm preserved, I'm premillennial, and I'm pickled in the juices of his grace. Amen. I like what Jesus said, John 10, verses 27 through 30, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. I believe that. These verses describe the keeping ability of Almighty God. I was not raised in the Baptist church. As a boy, I was raised in a church that taught Baptists were good as far as they went, but they just didn't want all that God had for them. And they taught that Baptists believe that damnable doctrine, once saved, always saved. I wouldn't call it that. That's a wonderful doctrine. After I became pastor of Greenwood Village in 1955, not long after that, I was over at my mother's house. And we were sitting around the kitchen table. My grandmother was there, Mommy. She's in heaven. There were six girls in the family, no boys, all girls, sitting around the kitchen table. And we were talking about the things of God. And my sweet grandmother, there was a Bible laying there on the table. She put her hand on the Bible and said, Harold, you can't show me eternal security between the lids of this Bible. Well, I quoted John 3:16. And I went over to Hebrews 6:4-6. I just quoted John 10, verse 27 through 30. I just quoted some scripture about eternal security. And after that, my mother was looking at my grandmother. Big old tears came down her cheeks, and she said to my grandmother, I tried to raise him right. And there I was, a pastor of a church. I thought she did a jam-up job. There I was, pastoring a church, and she said, I tried to raise him right. I thought she did a good job. I got in my car and started back to the church, and tears blinded my eyes. I couldn't see how to drive. I pulled over on the side of the road, cried a little bit, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, I want to thank you that you saved me by grace and you keep me by grace. And I said, you know, I don't believe I'm going to talk to them anymore about that. And I believe they said the same thing. I don't believe we're going to talk to Harold anymore about that. And they love me, and I know they prayed for me. All of them are in heaven now. And every time I went through Houston to see my mother, she had hugged me, and she had a $50 bill she put in the palm of her hand. And every time I went through Houston, she hugged me, put her hand in mine with that $50 bill. I tried to go through Houston every chance I could get. Amen. Hold my mule while I shout. Hallelujah. Well, it brings me to my fifth big point. He's able to succor, S-U-C-C-O-U-R. To succor merely means he's able to help. Hebrews 2, verse 18. Romans 16, 2. Listen, Hebrews 2, 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he's able, there it is again, he's able to succor them that are tempted. Romans 16, 2. It speaks of one of the Lord's people, a woman by the name of Phoebe, and it says, For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Paul said she helped a whole lot of Christians and she helped me too. Listen, my friends, if you're laboring and struggling with something you want delivered out of your life, then trust God. He's able to help you. Maybe it's a bad habit. Maybe it's the pride of life or the lust of the flesh or some problem. Whatever it is, God's able to help you. Yes, He is. Sixth big point. He's able, and this is most important, He's able to save to the uttermost. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, He's able, there it is. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Uttermost means He saves completely and finally. There's no blemishes on God's salvation. Save not only from the guttermost, but to the uttermost. He can reach down to the deepest depths and save. He could save that thief on the cross. He could save you and me. If He could save Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus to persecute God's people, He can save you and me. If He could save that woman caught in the very act of adultery, He can save you and me. He can reach out beyond time and keep forever and ever, and that's what to the uttermost really means. Whenever we moved on the new property, the first Sunday on the new property, there was a man that came and sat on the first row on the left. His name was Crider, Mr. Crider. I didn't know him, and he didn't know me. First time I ever met him. But somehow or another, I believe he liked me. I believe he liked me. He came back the second Sunday, sat right over there on the first row on the left. And I said to my wife, I wonder if he has a wife. I'm going to call, make an appointment, go over and see him and see if I can maybe be of a blessing or help to them. Me and my wife went over that night. He met us at the front door. And the first thing he said, now my wife is back in the kitchen. She's kind of bashful. She won't come in probably. My wife said, oh, I'll go back there and talk to her. My wife went to the kitchen to talk to her, and I talked to him. This is what he told me. He said, I'm a businessman. I go to the Orient quite often, and I met this Chinese lady in the Orient. And we fell in love, and we got married. He said, if somebody told me several years ago I'd do this, I'd say, you're crazy. But preacher, I married her, and she is a Buddhist. She's a Buddhist preacher. I went to the Buddhist temple with her, and I heard all those strange sounds. And he said, I just felt like going over and picking her up and carrying her out of that Buddhist temple. He said, I felt so oppressed in there. And she told me, preacher, if we get married, don't you ever expect me to go to a Christian church. I'm a Buddhist. And we left that house that night, and I told my wife, I said, I'm going to tell the whole church. I'm going to tell the church that to pray for Miss Crider, she'd get saved. And I did. I told the whole church about it. And we was praying that she'd get saved. And we had a revival meeting come, first revival on the new property. Had a preacher come from Georgia, 6'6". Oh, did he preach. I mean, he preached. But that Sunday morning, the front door opened, and in the front door walked Mrs. Crider and Brother Crider. I said, Lord, there she is. I couldn't believe it. That's where we are. We pray about something. When it happens, we don't believe it. But there she was. there she was. And Brother Crider, I mean, he preached to them. I mean, he preached like, the preacher preached like a house on fire. You thought I got him off to one side and told him all about it. I didn't tell him anything about it. He preached on how Joab got his barley field burned up. I said, Lord, how's she going to be saved on a message like that? How Joab got his barley field burned up. And when he got through preaching, there's several couples came to get saved. I mean, adult people. And I was kneeling with them. And when I got through prayer, I looked over there, and there was Brother Crider and Miss Crider in the altar. I went over and knelt by her, and I said, Miss Crider, you want to be saved today? I never will forget what she told me. She said, I'm Buddhist. Tradition. That's what she said. I Buddhist tradition. Oh, I said, Miss Crider, I want you to forget about being a Buddhist, and I want you to forget about tradition. I'm asking you if you'll accept Jesus as your Savior. He died for you, shed his blood for you. And she looked up at me and said, I will. I said, well, let's pray. Old Brother Crider, man, he had his arm around her. He never dreamed she'd be in a Christian church. And there she was, getting saved. He had his arm around her, boy, just hugging her up, crying, you know. And we prayed, and she gave her heart to Jesus. And I baptized her the next Sunday. And she's still going to church, and she's still saved. And she was wonderfully saved by the grace of God. Hey, he's able. And don't tell me that people have to be worked on for a year before they get saved. Some people get saved instantaneously when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, he's able to save to the uttermost. I could camp there a long time too. But in the last place, seventhly, he's able to keep and present us faultless. Look at Jude, verse 24. Now to him that's able to keep you from falling, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. One day in that final coronation day for me, when I stand in his presence, robed in his righteousness, washed in his blood, indwelt by his Spirit, taker of his divine nature, God's going to say, I find no fault in him at all. Now unto him that's able, do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I like that old song. 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He's able to keep his word. He's able to supply. He's able to subdue all things. He's able to keep our souls. He's able to succor our help. He's able to save to the uttermost. And he's able to keep and present you faultless before the presence of his glory. Amen. Now unto him that's able, do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Let's stand with our heads bowed. And I want to pray. And we'll have an invitation. Lord Jesus, thank you for this wonderful verse that tells us that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Lord, maybe there's someone here tonight that needs to be saved, that needs to accept Christ just like Miss Crider did. Put their faith and trust in you and be saved. And help them to know that God's able to save them. He's able to forgive them of their sins. He's able to see to it that they're born again. And Lord, we'll thank you for every spiritual victory. Maybe there's someone came discouraged tonight. Help them to leave knowing that God is able to meet every need. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And for his sake, amen. While our heads